There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Joe Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Not just a Tuesday, but the first Tuesday in October. The first day in October, which signifies a lot on the sports calendar. We are done with the opening month of the NFL regular season. Week number 4 coming to a close with a doubleheader of football games on Monday Night Football. In the opening day of October, Joe, is the first day of playoff baseball officially. Our 4 wild card series start today, and that includes 2 series that will feature both the Braves and the Mets. They split the doubleheader. We'll tell you how it went down yesterday in Atlanta to officially end the MLB regular season and solidify the National League playoff picture. All of that, Joe, as we preview everything you need to know around the MLB postseason over these 3 hours.
Sounds like we're in October, Ben, because only in October will you have that many things going on at the same time. And, oh, yeah, if the playoffs deliver anything like the Mets and the Braves did yesterday, buckle up. Going to be a heck of a month here, Ben.
Yes, it certainly will be. Can those wild card teams stay hot in the MLB postseason as we have seen the expanded playoffs the last 2 years around Major League Baseball? But we start with the doubleheader from Monday Night Football in Detroit and in Miami. Let's start with the nightcap in the better of the 2 games, the Lions and the Seahawks. Seattle entered unbeaten, a perfect 3-0 through its opening 3 weeks. But Detroit and Seattle, its first loss of the year, 42-29 in a high-scoring affair that featured perfection out of Jared Goff. 18 attempts, 18 completions for Detroit's quarterback as they cruise past Seattle, 42-29. Joe, covering as a 4.5-point home favorite, total of 46.5, skies way over.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he also caught a touchdown too, Jared Goff. So it was quite the evening for him there. It just goes to show, injuries I thought were going to be the big concern in this game. They proved to be a big problem for Seattle on the defensive side of the ball. But it just goes to show you, Seattle is not a team that can play from behind and try to play catch up. They need to be playing from in front. We need to remember that moving forward.
We will talk about the Seahawks and maybe their slightly exaggerated 3-0 start based on competition. But Detroit now 3-1, much like the Hawks, and they have covered in all 3 victories, booked as the favorite. Detroit, the best cover team in the National Football League since Dan Campbell took the reins in the Motor City back in 2021. Our reactions from the Motor City and our reactions from Miami, whether it's Skylar Thompson, Snoop Huntley, Tim Boyle, it doesn't matter for the Dolphins right now. The offense stagnant in And the Titans, winless after 3 weeks, entering last night, pick up victory number one of the season. 31-12, outright as a short underdog in Miami against the Finns. Total of 37.5 does go over. Tennessee taking advantage on the offensive side. A solid ground game where, whether it was Will Levis or Mason Rudolph, the QB's not asked to do all that much.
Yeah, 1-6 now without Tua under center, who clearly makes a difference for this Miami Dolphin offense. And when the Dolphins didn't get 100 yards of total offense until the fourth quarter, it makes it very difficult to win games, even against a backup quarterback and Mason Rudolph with your rookie quarterback on the sideline. Maybe a QB controversy we'll talk about later.
Using a slight injury to sideline Will Levis, perhaps to just elevate Mason Rudolph, because that is the smart decision. Before Levis was injured, diving for a first down and injuring what appeared to be his right throwing shoulder, he threw yet another interception, his sixth interception in about three games and a quarter, a turnover machine this year. But after Mason Rudolph takes over, steadies the ship, Tony Pollard, a big night for the Titans in Miami as Tennessee gets its first victory of the year outright as an underdog. Now let's get to the official final day of the MLB regular season, a doubleheader in Atlanta between the Mets and the Braves, and what a wild game number one it was. The Mets clinch a playoff berth with an 8-7 victory. All right, a one-run game, but not even that simple. The Braves had a 3-0 lead entering the eighth. Spencer Schwellenbach, the rookie, sensational on the bump once again, but Tyrone Taylor hits a double to lead off the eighth inning. Schwellenbach gets pulled. The Mets take advantage. They score six. They lead 6-3 into the home half of the eighth. Enter Edwin Diaz, who has struggled this year. Ozzie Albies with the bases jacked, hits a bases clearing three RBI double. Atlanta back in front, 7-6. You can see playoff hopes and playoff dreams either on the rise or dwindling in that moment. Top of the ninth. Francisco Lindor back for New York. A two-run shot clinches the postseason for the Mets. Game number two. The Braves open up as nearly a $5 favorite with the ace and the National League Cy Young winner soon to be, Chris Sale, on the bump. He gets scratched with back spasms, but the Braves still hold on for a 3-0 victory in the second leg of the doubleheader. They split in the A, both the Mets and the Braves, into the postseason.
Yeah, so where are all those people that tell me baseball is boring? This is why you watch baseball. That might have been the most entertaining two innings you will see in your lifetime when it mattered the most. And, boy, the Mets in Atlanta delivered, but it was kind of anticlimactic after that, because once we realized Sale wasn't pitching the second game and the Mets really weren't planning on playing anybody, you kind of knew we were heading towards the split, way or the other. I can't imagine being a Diamondback watching that game. I can't imagine what that was like.
Tough day for the D-backs, but take care of business. Don't drop five of your last seven, and you might have been in the playoffs as well. Yep. So now these two teams on the road on the opening day of October. The Braves head to San Diego as the 5 seed. The Mets head to Milwaukee as the 6th and final seed in the National League postseason. But a sad day in baseball as well, Joe, as Pete Rose passes away at the age of 83. The all-time hits leader in Major League Baseball. Played 24 seasons, 19 with the Reds, a 17-time All-Star at 5 different positions, but of course a complicated legacy. He was banned from baseball in the late 80s after betting on MLB, including his own Reds team that he managed and played for as a member of that Reds organization in 1985, 86, and 1987. Have it as well.
Yeah. And the ironic and sad part of all of this is that I am sure within the next year or so, he will be entered into the Hall of Fame. Yes. So and we all kind of knew it, too. We've been saying it for years that unfortunately he's going to have to pass away before he ever sniffs the Hall of Fame. And I think that's what's next. But one of the all time greatest baseball players ever, another one not in the Hall of Fame.
4,256 hits. You can argue about his legacy, but his impact on the actual diamond, there is no better when it comes to getting on base. NFL injury news now. Christian McCaffrey, Achilles tendonitis in both legs. And that is something for San Francisco. For the Chiefs, they await the official confirmation of Rashee Rice's injury. But again, it seems to be a season-ending knee injury that he suffered on Sunday in L.A.
Yeah, well, we said it, right? The minute we heard McCaffrey was flying to Germany, there was something else going on there, yeah. Ben, and we knew it.
NBA Media Day all around is the season, the preseason camp about to be opening up. Joel Embiid says that he lost 25 to 30 pounds aiming for playoff health since they got done in Paris. What did he do? Just eat snails over there? What an off-season diet for JoJo. Plenty more around the doubleheader of Monday Night Football comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For a second consecutive week, a doubleheader to end out Monday Night Football in week number 4 of this NFL season. Two spots last night, one in Detroit, the first game in Miami. We'll start with the better game of the bunch. That was between the Lions and the Seahawks. Seattle entered last night, one of 5 teams at the end of 3 weeks that was a perfect undefeated 3-0. First L of the year for Seattle. Detroit improves to 3-1 as well. In a high-scoring affair, the Lions victorious at home, 42-29. Detroit cruises to a cover as a 4.5-point home favorite, 46.5 does sky over as your total. Jared Goff, perfection. We'll look at the stats on a Monday night in just a second. But, Joe, as you approach this game last night, the Lions lay in 4.5 at home, albeit against an unbeaten opponent in the Seattle Seahawks. How did you approach? How did the game match what you expected?
So it was 3.5 for most of the week for Detroit, Ben. Yep. And then we started to get confirmation on just how banged up that defensive front of the Seattle Seahawks were. They were missing a lot of very key pieces there. We also learned late that Brian Branch, their leading tackler for Detroit, their safety and his backup were going to be out. So we didn't, you know, you thought maybe the over was the right side in this, given the fact that both teams offensively have enough firepower to keep up. But the ultimate takeaway from me in this game was the fact that Seattle needs to win by playing from in front. They were behind 2 scores in this game almost immediately, Ben, and it forced them to play catch up and not play the style of football where they could take the game over with the running game. And that was kind of the problem. The minute you have Geno Smith having to bring you back from 2 scores the whole game, it's a recipe for disaster, and it was a disaster, unfortunately, in the final 10 minutes in the fourth quarter there, where they just had to punt and then kept turning the ball over, and that was all she wrote, is they could not stop. With those defensive guys missing on the defensive front, they just could not stop the running game and Jared Goff last night.
And, Joe, you saw the injuries exposed along that defensive front for Seattle early in the game plan that Ben Johnson and Detroit unveiled offensively. Even without their all-pro center in Frank Ragnow, they ran the football. David Montgomery first, Jahmyr Gibbs. They took that early 2-touchdown lead. And Seattle down a score in the opening quarter was driving, moving the football well down the field. DK Metcalf fighting for extra yards, popped by Jack Campbell, the second-year linebacker out of Iowa, resulted in a fumble, set Detroit up inside the red zone. They take advantage for that 2-touchdown lead rather early. Joe, when we look at the Lions, you're right, 3.5-point spread, then moved to 4.5 later in the week. Did not matter. Detroit covers, of course, both of those numbers rather comfortably. And Detroit has been covering numbers rather comfortably under Dan Campbell. It started when Detroit was an underdog basically in every game, but more competitive than the odds makers perhaps anticipated. Since Campbell became Detroit's head coach and they started biting kneecaps back in 2021, there has been no better cover team in the National Football League in these 3+ years. Detroit, after the cover last night, now 40-18 against the spread since the start of 2021. That's a cover percentage of 68.9%. The only cover percentage in the NFL at 65% or better. All right, they were an underdog early. Well, since the start of a season ago, they've been a favorite in all four games. This year, both 3-1 straight up and against the spread. They were favored 16 times a season ago. They were 11-5 against the number. That's 14-6 ATS since the start of last season. In 20 games, Joe, booked as the favorite side.
It's mind-blowing, but it also goes hand-in-hand with the fact that Jared Goff is the most profitable quarterback in the NFL against the spread dating back to his rookie year. 74-53-2 is what Jared Goff is as a quarterback in the NFL. It's kind of mind-blowing, but he's never really gotten the hype. The market has never, ever thought of him as like they would have thought of a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes. And yet he's got a better ATS record than them all, Ben. And it goes to show that Detroit, I mean, they had lost six straight to Seattle heading into that game last night. Six straight Seattle had beaten them. And then the injuries just finally caught up to them. And Detroit, I think the future is bright this year for them, provided they can stay healthy. Yeah.
And we'll look at the season outlook for the Lions in just a moment. Now, primetime perfection out of Jared Goff, setting an NFL record for a full incompleted game with the most attempts and the most completions. 18 for 18 last night, 292 yards, three total touchdowns. What did Jared Goff do? Sneak into the end zone from the half-yard line? No, he caught a touchdown pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown, becoming the eighth duo in NFL history to both throw a touchdown to one another. Amon-Ra St. Brown also caught a score last night, had 45 receiving yards. And Joe, as we said, there was a time last year when we looked at Jahmyr Gibbs not getting as involved early on for this Lions offense. Why are they giving the ball strictly to David Montgomery? There is no competition anymore. Both of those backs, a huge component of this Ben Johnson offense, in both performing week in, week out, both finding pay dirt last night. Gibbs, two touchdowns, Montgomery, one.
And two different style runners that both bring a totally different set, if I'm on the defense, of issues and matchup nightmares. I mean, just look at that. Those primetime players, look at the names and the lists. I mean, can you imagine being a defense week in and week out and trying to figure out, all right, which one of these guys do we shut down or take away? Good luck trying to figure that one out, Ben.
Yeah, for sure. And Geno Smith almost threw for 400, didn't make the list, 395, a touchdown, albeit an interception. Kenneth Walker III living up to his name last night, three touchdowns back in the state of Michigan. I'm sure there were some Spartan fans that had a difficult time booing when he crossed Pater, but Detroit was up so comfortably, it was a good sign. And Joe, the Lions were under in all three games to start this year, one of eight teams after week three that fit into that distinction. Under by an average margin of 14 points per game, but last night was their first total sub 50, and you thought there would be some positive scoring regression. There was. Well over. Season outlook for both Seattle and Detroit next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
F right.
The season outlook for both teams facing off on a Monday night in the Motor City. We'll get to Detroit in just a second because the odds optimistic as the preseason expectation was for these Lions. SOL, not the case anymore unless you compare the same old Lions to 2023. Seattle, though, Joe, entered last night after week three as one of the five undefeated teams that started 3-0. As we had the discussion yesterday, and I'm sure many others in discussing Monday Night Football, were the Seahawks truly a solidified 3-0 team? Your record is what it states, but when you look at the quality of opponent that Seattle had beaten in three straight to start 3-0, you could maybe poke a couple of holes in the resume. And maybe that's what we saw last night. Seattle, despite being 3-0, allowed 20 points to Denver, 20 points to the Patriots, sneaking by in overtime week two, and got Skylar Thompson and Miami in week number three. The Seahawks were just 1-1-1 against the spread, booked as a favorite in all three games. So Seattle's unbeaten season comes to a close. They allow 42 points. Some of the defensive metrics were a little bit skewed by that week three matchup against Skylar Thompson and Miami. Seattle now 9.5, the win total. Still a minus money price to see the NFC postseason, and still with a 3-1 record, the best mark after the opening month of this NFL season in the NFC West. Did your view of Seattle change at all based on the result of last night?
No, I still think they're a double-digit win team this year. I mean, they get to go home and take on the Giants this week, so it doesn't really – that's a chalk up another win there, Ben, for them. I don't see that being a problem. I do think, obviously – with McDonald as the new head coach there, a big emphasis on the defense, a ton of backups there last night. And they did the best, you know, they hung in there on the road in a very, very tough environment the best they could. But I do think when healthy, Seattle's going to win 10 games this year, Ben. I don't see any path in which, unless things get hard off the rail, that big three of Geno, you got your running back, you got not one but two, but maybe even three wide receivers. You got a tight end. You've got everything they need to score with the best of them in the NFC. I don't think they'll have a problem getting to 10 wins, provided that defense stays healthy enough.
You saw the 9.5 win total for the Hawks. The under actually has a slight bit of juice at minus 124, pretty similar to the price for Seattle to see the NFC playoffs at minus 114. They have put themselves in position. It doesn't matter if you beat bad teams as long as you beat them. And at the end of the road, your record is going to be what is the differentiating factor, of course, to see the NFL postseason. Now to Detroit. 10.5, the win total for the Lions, a team that went over that a season ago. A team that won a division for the first time in three decades a season ago. A team that entered this year, Joe, as the divisional favorites, but now it's Minnesota in front of the Lions. The unbeaten Vikings, one of two remaining undefeated teams at 4-0. 20 cents in front of the Lions at plus 125. What is your overall season outlook for Detroit?
Yeah, I still think Detroit is going to be there. I mean, you saw last night their ability to be able to do what we thought they could do on any given night. It took them a little while, started off slow, like you said, a lot of unders for Detroit thus far, but them playing more than three quarters of their games indoors again this year with Jared Goff and that speed and that offense. Yeah, no way. Aiden Hutchinson's an absolute wrecker in the backfield there for teams. I think they have no problem eventually overtaking Minnesota and winning the division as well as more than 10.5 games.
So they won 12 games a season ago. You see the playoff price at minus 300. Minnesota off to such a strong start and has earned every bit of their perfect 4-0 beginning. The Vikings updated win total 11.5. The under has the heavy juice. Detroit remains at 10.5. The over had the juice entering the year. It's where it still stays at minus 122. Both teams expected to be around 11 wins. That might be what it takes to win the NFC North. Green Bay is going to be there. Chicago, an even 500 at 2-2 as well. And Joe, ultimately, as we'll hear from the public to start off our third and final hour of the show on this Tuesday, I think the questions for Detroit, not can they win a second consecutive divisional crown, not can they see the postseason for the second straight year, but can they get back to the NFC Championship, and can they clean up the mistakes allowing themselves a Super Bowl appearance? Those are the questions in the Motor City. The first game on Monday night in Miami next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We had an expectation that the opening game of two on a Monday night to end out week number four might not be the prettiest football game we have ever seen. It was Will Levis versus Snoop Huntley, and then it wasn't Levis. It was Mason Rudolph versus Snoop Huntley in an old AFC North rivalry from Rudolph's days in Pittsburgh and Huntley's Pro Bowl days in Baltimore. Joe, my task for this game was for the Wonder Boy, Mike McDaniel, knowing Snoop Huntley was going to be his quarterback for a full week, designing an offensive scheme like we've seen his buddies, Matt LaFleur, do with Malik Willis on about the same amount of notice. And here they were once again, Miami now the worst scoring offense in the National Football League after the opening month of this season. Tennessee gets its first win of the year. 31-12 outright as a 2.5-point underdog on the road in Miami. Good for the Titans. Terrible times for the Dolphins. That's pretty much my assessment of the first game on Monday night.
Yeah, I also think it's fascinating that how many times have we heard over the years that, listen, in a Shanahan offense, Mike McDaniel, who's of that, coaching tree, where it's just, they're just plug and play guys, like, right? It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, Ben, just plug him in there. They're 1-6 without Tua for a reason. All those weapons, you ain't plugging just anybody in there. You took a dude off the streets for 2 weeks and thought he was going to learn that offense with all those weapons. Apparently it's not plug and play. It's much more, and he is much more valuable, that being Tua, to the Miami Dolphins than anybody wants to actually admit. The reality is, if you can't, your backup situation is suspect at best. I mean, shame on Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins for not having something that you can go ahead and rely upon to hold down the fort till you can get Tua back. I mean, that's not even an NFL offense what we saw last night, Ben. It's embarrassing.
It really is, Joe. I mean, look at the passing stats in this game. Snoop Huntley's passing prop was at 160, 156. It doesn't matter. He didn't even sniff it. 96 yards last night on 22 attempts, completed 14. We thought maybe Devon Achan would be that bright spot for this Miami offense, or they would incorporate Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. They tried. There's just not much they can do offensively. Devon Achan, 10 carries for 15 yards. Huntley was Miami's leading rusher, 40 yards and a touchdown last night. On the other side, Will Levis was out there for the opening two possessions. On the opening drive of the game, he threw his sixth interception of the season. On the second drive of the game, he was diving forward for a first down, landed awkwardly on his right throwing shoulder, had to be taken to the sideline in the blue tent, and then looked like he could have come back in the game, except Brian Callahan said, I'm done with this guy, turning the football over. That interception last night, his ninth turnover individually for Levis in the first three games and a quarter for Tennessee this season. So they trusted Mason Rudolph. They trusted Mason Rudolph to hand the football off. He was 9 of 17 for 85 yards, but Tony Pollard found the end zone, 88 yards on the ground. Tajay Spears also found the end zone as well. Again, it wasn't pretty, but the Titans did what they had to do as the road underdog, mind you, against Tyler Huntley in his Miami debut last night for the Dolphins. And Tennessee wins outright. Joe, these were two of three teams entering the end of week four last night that had failed to cover a number so far this year. Tennessee 0-3 against the spread, an underdog in all three games. Miami 0-3 against the spread, favored in two, an underdog with Skylar Thompson in week three. Tennessee gets its first win, its first cover outright as the underdog. Miami now just 1-3 and 0-4 ATS, a favorite in three of four games until Tua Tagovailoa comes back, whenever that may be. Miami ain't going to be a favorite much more often.
No, they're not, nor should they be. I mean, that was embarrassing there. I will also say, poor Will Levis. The internet today is just going to absolutely, the memes are going to be all over the map. He threw an interception, Ben, to the largest dude on the field in Agbaje there, where, I mean, literally, he didn't even have to, like, make any acrobat. He threw it right into the dude's belly, and he caught it, and then went on the sideline, and the cameras caught him saying, whew, didn't even see him. How did you not see him? He was standing right in front of you, and you threw him the ball. Yeah. So it's not going to be there's going to be rough sledding for poor Will Levis moving forward. Tough as nails, the kid, but there are going to be those growing pains. And listen, Mason Rudolph is a backup. So let's not get that's not the answer here for the Tennessee Titans organization, and they know it.
No, I don't think it is, but I wonder if Mason Rudolph just steadies the ship enough to keep them competitive in football games and not shoot themselves in the leg, as Will Levis had time and 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 time. That's nine, like the turnovers that Levis had throughout this season in three games and a quarter. Tennessee has been booked as an underdog in all 21 games since the start of last year. Now 8-12-1 against the spread. A couple of outright victories to boot in those eight covers. Miami Joe, the worst scoring offense in the National Football League after the opening month, almost unfathomable entering this year. Under Mike McDaniel, they are now 18-6 straight up as the favored side. They are 14-10 against the spread. Three of those 10 non-covers all this year. Two of those six non-wins outright as the favored side each this year. It's going to be tough for both of these teams moving forward. Maybe Tennessee can stay competitive if Mason Rudolph is under center. We have no idea what to do with the Dolphins despite all the talent on the offensive side until Tua Tagovailoa comes back.
Week 8, too, by the way. I mean, the earliest he's eligible to come off the injured reserve list is Week 8. Now, the good news is they reported yesterday he is symptom-free of any concussion, lingering concussion issue. So that's good news, but they still ain't getting him back until Week 8. So we still got three more weeks here, Ben, that the Dolphins have to figure out how to muster up some offense. And again, I don't know, you know, 2 weeks to learn that offense. It was, you set them up to fail. Hopefully it gets a little bit more better as the weeks progress here, but they got to figure something out. Otherwise the season's over by the time he comes off IL.
And when you look at the odds right now, Joe, for the Fins, the season might already be over. The win total off the board, because I don't think the FanDuel Sportsbook has any idea how to set that number right now for Miami. Playoff price is plus 235. We expected, and again, a lot of this is based on health, and anytime you lose a quarterback, your entire season is going to change. It feels a little bit different in South Florida because of the uncertainty around head injuries and how it had plagued Tua Tagovailoa in 2022. But, Joe, the question for Miami was not could they earn an AFC playoff berth, either contend for the AFC East or another wild card spot, as they had in each of the previous 2 years under Mike McDaniel, but could they snap a nearly two-and-a-half-decade-long postseason drought of winning a game? Miami's last playoff victory back in the year 2000, it does not seem as though they'll even have a chance to rectify that issue for this Fins franchise this season.
No. And again, shame on the organization with Greer and others there, knowing full well, Ben, how long have we known about the possibility of a concussion issue with Tua now? What, 2 years? And you've done nothing. You have no plan B. Zero plan B. Skylar Thompson was your plan B. And that's it. It's shame on the front office for putting his team in this spot here right now, because the season could very well be over after the next couple of weeks.
Meanwhile, for Tennessee, 6.5 is the win total. The under has the juice. It's the fourth lowest win total in the NFL. Maybe Tennessee can win a couple of games this year. Feels like that's the season outlook for the Titans. More around the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Joe, as we shared last week when you and I were here on a Tuesday recapping the end of week number 3 around the NFL, as we get done with 1 week, we look forward to the next. and that means practice reports and injury updates from the weekend that was, as you project the days to come. And the update around Christian McCaffrey was that he was not even going to be stateside. He was going to fly to Germany to see a specialist to deal with the Achilles tendonitis that had been placed on IR for the San Francisco 49ers. Well, a further update last night from ESPN's Adam Schefter is that he is dealing with Achilles tendonitis, not just in one leg, but in both legs. So maybe he's going to Germany to get answers on this, but there does not seem to be an end in sight for Christian McCaffrey. The IR stint that is up to 4 weeks could be continued beyond. Now, Jordan Mason has been fine. The Niners handled business as a double-digit favorite against the Patriots on Sunday to improve to an even 500, 2-2. But when you're losing the best offensive player in the National Football League, at least he won Offensive Player of the Year a season ago, it's never a good sign, and it's never a good sign when uncertainty clouds the situation.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy how this worked out, right? It's been bothering his one leg for a while, and because of that, he's been, unbeknownst to him, overusing the other leg to compensate for the pain in the right leg, and now he's created tendonitis in both of them, but it still is the only one leg that seems to be bothering him. But here's the other problem they keep saying. There's nothing you could do except rest this. That's the only treatment. If there's no tears and nothing requires surgery, then the only thing that is going to help this is basically resting it and not playing NFL football. So who knows, Ben, when he's coming back at this point and if it's worth it, because if he comes back and he pulls it, then what? We're into next year before we can see him again?
Yeah, that's the fear, right? Anything that could lead to a rupture of the Achilles.
Yep.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know how tendons necessarily work. If it's overextended, does it give you a higher probability of rupturing the entire thing, which sidelines you forever? And although Christian McCaffrey is a unicorn, he's getting up there just a little bit as a running back. Yep. How detrimental would that be? I think worth it is the conversation I am sure they are having internally with the 49ers. I'm sure CMC is debating with his team, with the organization. It's just not a good story for San Francisco at this moment. And again, Jordan Mason has been really, really solid, 100 plus in three of the four games for San Fran this year. Overall, Joe, the 49ers still remain the favorites to win an NFC championship despite an uneasy start at 2-2. They're plus 380. We have seen this number be closer to $2.50 throughout this season already, but still plus 380. They're nearly $2 in front of a Detroit team that we just sung the praises for a little bit ago, plus 550 for the Lions, second best price. Philadelphia, 2-2, plus 650, and the undefeated Minnesota Vikings, the best record in the NFC, at plus 750. Knowing that there is some uncertainty around the 49ers. Yes, they looked a lot healthier on Sunday against New England. Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, back for that offense as well. Joe, do you believe you can buy into the Niners' price at this time?
No, I don't, unfortunately. And that's the scary part. That was part of the reason why I actually made them one of my survivor picks this week, because I don't know what this is going to be. Yeah. We said it last week, Ben. Why is he going to Germany? There's something else going on here. And I don't think the 49ers at any point thought there was a possibility they'd have to run the tables this year without McCaffrey in uniform and on the field here. And that is becoming, it sounds like, a very big reality to them right now. We're talking about what? The offensive player of the year? We're not talking about a dude you can just throw different guys in there and be like, oh, he's easy to replace. Yeah. He's not easy to replace here. And that means they become a little less potent in a very crowded NFC right now. So I'm not optimistic with the 49ers until they can figure out what's going on with McCaffrey.
As a collective, we have diminished the value of a running back. You would think that's even more demeaned in a type of offensive scheme like Kyle Shanahan. Heck, we did the same to Brock Purdy, the most important player on the field at the QB spot because of Shanahan's scheme and all the talent elsewhere. But Christian McCaffrey is a unique individual in terms of what he presents when he is healthy. And frankly, since he got traded to San Francisco, he had been pretty fully healthy for the 49ers. Not the case as of this moment. San Fran back in Santa Clara after a couple of road games. They're a 7.5-point home favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. They were home on Sunday as well, but a 7.5-point favorite against the Cardinals, a good cover team as an underdog. I think that game is slightly more competitive. Joe, also from ESPN's Adam Schefter, the ultimate insider, perhaps, if you saw those reports yesterday. The Chiefs still awaiting official confirmation on the extent of Rashee Rice's knee injury. We had Dr. David Chow on the show yesterday. He pretty much told us that based on video, it looks to be a torn ACL. And there's a test you do right there on the field before x-rays, before MRIs, which of course give you that official confirmation and the extent of the injury, that you can pretty much tell 95% of the time if it is a torn ACL. He feels pretty confident. I believe the Chiefs are just delaying the inevitable, which they have every right to do. Even if it's not a torn ACL, I don't think we see Rashee Rice until the very late portions of this season for KC.
Yeah, and now here comes the problem. You also know you're not seeing Isaiah Pacheco or Marquise Brown, who are both on injured reserve and in all likelihood not going to be seen for the rest of at least this year.
No doubt.
They got to start figuring out what's going on. Do they have enough in the building here, Ben, to compensate? You can lose one of those guys, maybe even two, but three of those guys, they got a problem in Kansas City.
Joe, we'll talk about the top of the Super Bowl odds because both of those teams, San Francisco we just discussed, and Kansas City, dealing with grave injury concerns in the opening month. Change our outlook. Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Significant, and I mean incredibly significant, injury concern for the two Super Bowl favorites and the two teams that are favored to win their conference crown after the opening month of this season. San Francisco is 2-2. Kansas City is one of the two teams that remains unbeaten after only 4 weeks at 4-0. The Chiefs, Joe, 5-1 favorite to win Super Bowl 59. San Francisco, the team that lost to Kansas City in Super Bowl 58, just $1.50 behind. We talked about the issues with Christian McCaffrey, the uncertainty surrounding the Achilles tendonitis now in both legs. The Chiefs are trying to tell us there is still some uncertainty into the true extent of Rashee Rice's injury, but we expect him to miss a significant amount of time, if not the entirety of the rest of this season. So you could have Rashee Rice out for the year, Isaiah Pacheco out for most of this season. Same story for an offseason acquisition in Hollywood Brown. And yet we give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt, and rightfully so. Look at the wideout room last year. It wasn't good. The Chiefs had the worst offense they had under Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback. They still won their second consecutive Super Bowl. Do the Chiefs have enough in the tank to make that the case two straight times to win a Super Bowl as the first team to ever win it 3 years in a row?
Oh, that's the problem. And listen, of the two teams, Kansas City deserves the benefit of the doubt. And I have long said this, Ben, and a big believer of it. Receivers don't make quarterbacks. Quarterbacks make receivers. And we have evidence of that time and time again. I mean, don't look any further than Tom Brady. How many Hall of Fame wide receivers were creating great opportunities? He played with one, Randy Moss, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So this is one of these situations. From Favre to Aaron Rodgers, you give Mahomes the benefit of the doubt because he's good enough to take probably guys off the street and make them look real good. I do think you better start investing in a lot of props on Worthy moving forward because I think he's going to get a whole lot of looks here. And Kelsey, it looks like, is starting to warm up here a little bit. Yeah. I trust that Kansas City will figure it out and be okay with all those injuries, more so than I am with the 49ers right now.
Yeah, you got to give the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt, and they have the pedigree and the experience, even with a cast and crew that is slightly inferior to our expectations, that they have figured it out before. The rookie Xavier Worthy will be expected to do a ton. Justin Watson now becomes the number two wide receiver. Sky Moore, man, if that guy's got anything, we will find out right now, but we would expect a couple of acquisitions, whatever that looks like, for Brett Veach and that KC front office. Let's go to some other injury news. Twice in a span of four plays on Sunday, Joe, was Anthony Richardson knocked out of Indy's first win of the year over Pittsburgh. You put in the steady veteran presence of Joe Flacco, you are going to deliver for Indianapolis. He is listed AR as day-to-day with both abdomen and hip injuries, but still optimistic he could play on Sunday as the Colts will play on the road in a divisional duel in Duval County against Jacksonville. Right now, Indy listed as a 2.5-point underdog. Joe, do you believe Anthony Richardson plays? And if so, does that move the number at all in Jacksonville on Sunday?
Well, it didn't look like it moved much when Flacco came in. But again, how can he hold down the fort long enough? I believe they're going to try to do whatever they can to try to get him back on the field, that being Richardson, because they clearly need to get him the experience and the reps, and they got to figure out. I mean, the kid's got nothing but talent, but if he's going to be on the sideline or he's going to continue to be an injury concern, they need to figure that out sooner rather than later. But I think Flacco is more than capable with that, with the offense, to be able to keep steady the ship, like you said earlier with Tennessee. I think he can steady the ship long enough for them to figure it out. And then we're going to have to make a decision if he can't come back as to whether or not we think Flacco can do what he did in Cleveland last year.
It's what Flacco has done. It's what Indianapolis had with Gardner Minshew a year ago. Yep. But Joe is right. You want to see if Anthony Richardson, who you expended a fourth overall pick on in 2023, is your franchise quarterback. First 3 weeks, not great. Only QB that had started a game with a completion percentage sub 50%. But he was really good early on Sunday. Led a touchdown drive, was 3 of 4 for 71 yards through the air, 24 more on the ground, and had Indianapolis inside Pittsburgh's 10-yard line before he was banged up and out of the game. You can rely on Joe Flacco, but I think you'll want Anthony Richardson to be under center. It's the first day of October. It's hour 2. Playoff baseball time next.